In just a few seconds, we've got another amazing leader for you on Walking the Walk. But first, are you a member of the Sensei Leader Movement yet? And if not, why not? Your success as a leader is measured by one thing, the success of your people. And you're at your best when, and only when, you help your people perform at their best. Our mission is to help our members inspire, empower, and guide the people you lead to their very best. Our first level membership is free, always will be. Now, I don't want to keep you any longer from today's guest, so just visit slmjoinfree.com for all the benefits and join the Sensei Leader Movement today. Simple, not easy. You know, that's something I say a lot when I'm speaking or coaching, and I learned that in the martial arts. You know, earning a black belt, for example, simple, but it's not easy. You know, I saw a LinkedIn article recently that was written by today's guest, Alexis Blackstone, and she said, leadership is simple, not easy. I knew we'd be singing in harmony, and that's what we're going to start talking about today on Walking the Walk.
People who inspire, empower, and guide us to our very best. Leaders who are walking the walk. Your host, leadership activist, author, and founder of the Sensei Leader Movement, Jim Bouchard.
Well, Alexis, first of all, thanks so much for visiting with us today. And like I said in the open, I say simple, not easy a lot, and these days particularly in regard to leadership, right? Or to look at it another way, you know, management can be about complex systems and processes, but I've found that the most effective leaders somehow find a way to focus on the simplest, most important, and I'd probably add the most human aspects of leadership. Are we singing in harmony?
I think we are. Thank you so much for having me, Jim. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, I kind of always look at leadership in two parts, and I think we're probably on the same page with that. As you know, there's people and then there's the results. Mm. And you know, those who concentrate on one or the other are making things harder versus easier.
No, isn't that true? It's amazing. And sometimes I know in our workshops, you probably come across the same type of attitude where particularly the higher up you go in the food chain, right? People they have a lot of responsibilities. They're in charge of managing a lot of complex processes and systems and teams and whatnot. So it's important, I think, for us to return to those very, very simple things. And one of the biggest things I think we're seeing now, and if you're listening later on in the year, hopefully we're past the coronavirus thing, but right now we're in the middle of it, right? And I think it is refocusing us, right? Especially those leaders who are trying so hard to connect with their people.
Well, and I've been having a lot of conversations with people lately about how do you kind of rejig what you're doing and how mm-hmm. do you make those connections, because we can't be leaving our team members behind, and we really have to engage them. Even if we thought we were really good at engaging them when we were seeing them daily in and out, now it's even more important to figure out how best to do that. So yeah, it's all a new world I think we're in.
It is a lot easier when you're in the same space, isn't it? I mean, this remote stuff, it's a blessing we have it, right? But it is a different type of communication. What are you seeing with that?
Well, what I'm seeing is people are asking, you know, how do I engage differently? And what I've been telling a lot of leaders that I've been talking to is it really has to really dig in and create the dialogue. Mm-hmm. It's really about asking questions these days because you really want to see where people are. Everybody's in a different place. And I think, I don't know about you, everybody's in a different place on a different day. Yeah. I know I've had my days myself, and I think we all have.
Yeah, I've thrown some things around. I just try to keep it behind closed doors. and I think that's another important aspect. You know, people have been asking us a lot. Part of it's because, you know, of our, you know, the Sensei Leader Movement grew out of my 30 years of life in 30 years plus in martial arts, you know, and it was a natural transition. But, you know, people are often asking about how to project confidence, right? And to me, again, that there are simple ways to do it. We're all feeling it, but you take a few breaths before you walk out in front of people or before you open that Zoom camera, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you still have to prepare. It's almost like preparing. You and I do a lot of facilitation. We were just mm-hmm. talking about that and, you know, preparing before the speaking we do before you get on stage. You have right. to do that mental preparation. And I think we need to do the same thing. You're right, whether you're Zoom or WebEx or whatever you're using, to really make sure that you're totally in the totally there, totally present, totally in the game.
Oh, that's perfect. No, that's perfect, absolutely, because I've seen a few. You know, everybody's hitting the live streams, right? And they're running around. Oh my God, this isn't working. That isn't working. Okay, we're all going to get through this. We're all in it together.
Well, there's a disconnect. Well, I do think, though, you know, because I work from home a lot anyway. Yeah, if I'm not at a client site, I'm working from home, and I've had Zoom meetings off and on even before everything kind of went to online.
Yeah.
And I was always like, for me, I have a cat. And I was always like, oh, shoving the cat away, shoving the
cat
away.
I'm seeing the cat. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. You already saw the cat. But now today, because everybody, almost everybody has something, the dog, the cat, the
kids.
They're homeschooling and trying to do their Zoom meeting, whatever the case may be. Yeah. I think we're being a little more forgiving from that standpoint.
You know, I'm glad you kind of brought that one up, because I think at first we were, and like you, I've been working, you know, when I'm not on the road, I work from home, you know, almost all the time. So I do a lot of meetings like this, and I've got to admit, I'm not very patient with somebody who doesn't take, you know, take some care, right, to focus on our meeting. It's our time, and I understand. I was a little more forgiving, but I actually did a live stream because I put on my old martial arts uniform and gave sensei's tips to how to keep the kids under control when you're trying to do
it. Awesome.
It was kind of fun. I have some tricks. So, you know, 30 years working with kids, I had some tricks, but at any rate, I think there is a balance, and now is where I hate the term the new normal. We won't have to get into all that, but as people are trying to retool to this process and get back to business, even if it's not as business as usual, I think that's something we do need to pay attention to. And feel free to argue with me on that one, because it's distracting when you're trying to do business, and then all of a sudden, you know, your little darling is running through the screen, pulling mom's hair and ripping the headphones off, right?
I think I definitely agree with you. I think there's that balance. And I think there's a difference between trying to set up the right environment, and sometimes, you know, things happen.
Yeah,
just like at work, things happen that, you know, whether it's, you know, you're talking to your boss and her boss calls and she feels she needs to take that, or whatever that case may be. So I think it's just the different types of interruptions that we're and we see them differently because they're more personal.
Yeah. Scheduling can help with that though, right? Because, you know, I've been advising people, you know, take some meetings later in the evening if you've got kids, and, you know, get the kids tired, put them to bed, and then, right, then you can spend quality time with the kids, and maybe, and I think that's where a lot of us can be accommodating, and I you know, I don't have kids, but I don't mind doing that. I don't mind taking a meeting in the evening if that's what someone needs.
Oh, absolutely. I even do that with my coaching clients even before this all took place, just because it was easier. They could do it from their own home sometimes, where they weren't going to be interrupted. And I actually saw somebody just post recently about the fact that she's actually taken all of her coaching and transfer into all mostly to the evenings to accommodate just what you said. So I think people are trying to find those ways and balance. You're right. I think we were through that first, oh my gosh, how do we do this?
Yeah.
For those who weren't doing it like you and I were. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, okay, now we need to set up that routine or as best we can.
Yeah, I hear you. And probably it's good that we're talking about it, because as you just said, you know, we're used to it and we might take these processes for granted. Right. But a lot of people are doing this for the first time, and they're used to that. It's the socialization, too, that people are missing.
Oh, I know I am. Right. You know, like I said, I mean, I live alone and I work from home a lot, as I said before, if I'm not at a client. But I had actually started like 2 weeks before this everything went on lockdown everywhere. Yeah. I decided, as things were getting nicer weather wise here in Chicago, I was going to 2 or 3 days a week go work in a coffee shop. There was one about 6 blocks away. I found it. I liked it. The music wasn't overwhelming. And I was really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And then this all happened.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm even, as somebody used to it, I'm still adjusting too. So we all are.
You know, that's funny that you say it. Is it snowing in Chicago today?
No, it's cold, but sunny.
You know, I'm not a religious person, but if there is a God, if you're subscribed to God, he has a wild sense of humor for those of us in New England, because it is snowing to beat the band.
You're having snow? Oh, no. No, we're lucky.
I just cleared the driveway and it's snowing again. Isn't that wild, huh? Yeah, but anyway.
Well, I hope we don't get one of those.
I was telling people they were saying, Jim, that's it. The golf clubs are out. Of course, they close the golf courses, but I said, no, we're going to get one more. And everybody thought I was insane, but I don't know. I have a feeling for those things.
And you hate being right, but you were right.
I do hate being right. And I hate winter. What the hell I'm doing up here? Well, I don't know right now, but it's a dichotomy. I love Maine, but I hate winter, right? So let's get back to the idea of simple, not easy. I really enjoyed your article and shared it all over the place. I thought it was just a brilliant article. And I think particularly for leaders, what are some of the things that we really do need to simplify as leaders?
I think we need to simplify our communication.
Mm.
I think we need to do it more often than we probably are, but we need to create the messages that are clear and simple and direct. Because I think sometimes we talk around things, and especially, again, we're going back to this environment a little bit, you need to get the biggest bang for the buck in terms of when you're communicating, because you're not being able to say, oh, one more thing and walk down the hall to somebody.
That happens in writing too, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes I'll get a message where, you know, somebody's taken me three different directions before they get to the point, and I don't mind a little social interaction in that, but I'd like to know what the hell you're talking about, right?
Yeah, and I think that all has to do with sometimes with different styles too, mm-hmm. because we all talk and communicate in different ways. So yeah, some of us are more direct and really like the bullet points, and some of us really like that socialization. And if they can't get it this way, you know, if they can't get it in the office and being with somebody, maybe they're trying to get it via email. But I absolutely agree with your point.
What are the things you think people should simplify?
I think we need to really simplify, especially in this age, is leading by example.
Amen.
Doing what you say you're going to do, following through on it, and not asking people to do things you're not willing to do yourself. I mean, that is so, so important to me as a leader, having way back when I was in corporate America, having those leaders who would tell you what to do, but weren't willing to roll up your sleeve. Roll up their sleeve and do it with you or side by side, or even show you how to do it. Just that was kind of my first example of, this is not the leader I want to be.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's one of our key strategies, again, borrowed from martial arts, lead by example, because to me, you know, and I know Stephen Covey used to talk about it, was an emotional bank account, I think the term he used. And to me, as a leader, you have to be banking respect, trust, and loyalty. Right? I mean, to me, those are not soft things. Those are a leader's most valuable assets. And we're seeing that now, because people that didn't have that in the bank, right? Now the poop's hitting the fan and people are scattering from them. It's the people that had that in the bank. And no, I agree with you. It's taking care of those simple things, and leading by example is one of the best ways to do it.
Absolutely. And it's not that hard to do. I mean, all you have to do is, you know, a couple times a week, you know, however you're communicating, is offer to pitch in, offer your help, offer your advice, offer to be able to connect the people. You know, you can't walk down the hall. You might not have everybody's phone number, but as a leader, you might know who somebody on your team is working on a project. Mm. You might know who can help them, but they don't know how to connect with them. And you do.
Yeah.
Do those simple things to help, because collaboration, just because we're all working remotely, doesn't mean we can't collaborate, and we should be collaborating.
No, and I like what you said about, you know, just the connection part of it. I can't remember who said this. I always forget the attributes. I've had 12 concussions, by the way, so if I forget things, that's...
I don't have that excuse, and I also forget the attributes.
There you go.
So go right ahead.
There you go. But anyway, I thought it was just a beautiful statement. It went, the greatest gift you can give another human being is your attention. I think that's something very simple that leaders can do today, right? Is just to reach out and ask how people are doing, just to see, you know, how's your family doing? How are you getting through it? Can I help in any way?
And exactly. And what I've also been telling them is, where are you today?
Oh, good one. Yeah.
Where are you on this, whatever you want to call it, this, you know, what we're working in? Because we're all, as I said before, we're all going to be at different places on different days.
Yeah.
And the good news is, hopefully, if I'm talking to you and I'm not having the greatest day and you are, you can help bring that energy to me and switch it up. And that actually happened to me yesterday when I was talking with a colleague. So it does work.
No, it really does. It really does. Boy, I miss those hugs and handshakes.
Absolutely. I know. The virtual happy hours only do so much too, right?
Yeah, but those do help, don't they? I mean, we were on one yesterday with some friends of ours in the speaking business, and some friends, just entrepreneurs in different areas that we've become close to. And I'm thankful for one of the people, Michelle Nuyar. She's a terrific speaker and coach and everything too. And she organized the thing, and it was really cool. At first I said, nah, I don't want to do that, you know? But every time, I feel much better afterwards.
It is. And you know what? Because you can let down, you know, kind of just be yourself. You don't have to be on. You can be who you are and share where you are and what you're doing. And I think it's great. And everybody needs it, whether it's the happy hour, the coffee, the eat lunch together, whatever it might be.
And we can all sit around in our trackies and yoga pants without anybody knowing, right?
Half of us are from the bottom down anyway, right? So
we're going to pick up a couple more points that we can simplify after the break. We're with Alexis Gladstone. She's just, this is the first time I've met her. I think she's wonderful. And she's the founder of, I hope I got the name right, Intelead?
Intelead, you got it.
And how do you get in touch with you? We're going to brag because the commercial is going to tell it too, but this is called brand reinforcement, right?
You can find me on LinkedIn. I think I'm the only Alexis Gladstone, or you can find me on my website, which is intelead.com.
There you go. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. I hope. Alexis Gladstone is the founder of Intelead, a Chicago-based consulting practice dedicated to aligning people, strategies, and business results. Intelead designs strategies and programs to help clients develop current and next-generation leadership, increase the effectiveness of sales teams, and drive organizational change that delivers results. Alexis has a passion for helping women succeed and is a sought-out voice, trainer, and coach on the topics of women in leadership and helping clients attract and develop female talent. She's worked with individuals and organizations in a wide variety of industries, including financial services, hospital, medical, legal services, and manufacturing. She's presented and trained on leadership at both public companies and not-for-profit organizations here in the States and internationally. Learn more about Alexis and her services at intellead.com, I-N-T-L-L-E-A-D.com. The research is bombproof. People perform at their best when and only when they know their leaders care, when they know their work has meaning, and when they have the chance to learn, grow, and develop. To accomplish this, we need to connect with the people we serve, the people who trust in our leadership. Leaders today need emotional intelligence, strong interpersonal skills, and an accurate sense of self-awareness. I'm Jim Bouchard, leadership activist and founder of the Sensei Leader Movement. The Sensei enjoys a very special relationship with students. It's one built on respect, trust, and loyalty. And these are also a leader's most valuable assets. I help you build these relationships. I work with you to help you inspire, empower, and guide your people to their very best. That's what the best leaders do, and that's what the Sensei does. My job is to help you be the Sensei, so you can lead your people to their very best and yours.
Executive coaching, workshops, corporate training. Visit thesenseileader.com or call 207-751-4317 today to learn more.
Well, there you have it. Intelead, I-N-T-E-L-E-A-D.com. Did I get it?
You got it.
All right. That's how you get in touch with Alexis Gladstone. Now, I enjoy, too, it's really interesting. I've been trying to figure out why, but we do a lot of women's groups, associations, and whatnot. In fact, we just joined Women in Trucking Association, which I think is a fantastic group. We do a lot of work with NAWIC, National Women in Construction. Rise Women Leaders with the healthcare.
Okay.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, and I'm going to throw this at you and feel free to debate. I think we can have friendly debate, you and I, right? But we'll see if we're agreeing or debating. A lot of times I hear from women leaders, a woman, it's unique because a woman fill in the blank, you know, a woman cares more, fill in the blank. A woman is more compassionate, fill in the blank, right? And every time, or a woman, the other flip side of it, we hear a lot of times, men are more confident. And every time I hear that, I say, wow, I said, if you were in one of my groups that was, you know, mostly men, you'd be hearing the same, really the same things, especially, again, as the higher up you go in the org chart, I think it seems to flatten out. Am I wrong, or do we all face some commonalities? And if not, what are some of the unique differences you see working with women leaders?
I do think there's absolutely some commonalities, and I always hate saying everybody, men are all one way and women are all the other way, because it's not true. We know we're a blend of a lot of different characteristics and traits, and a lot of it has to do with how we were brought up in terms of what was our kind of, how we were socialized with our families. You know, women were socialized to share, you know, as girls, we shared and we, you know, we were quiet and we didn't, you know, try and stand out. I was cleaning out some some old papers, I came across all of my report cards from starting from kindergarten. And my kindergarten one was actually, it was all written out. And one of the things was, Alexis likes to tell people what to do. So even in kindergarten, I guess I was called bossy.
Well, that's not a bad thing necessarily. Right?
And it's I don't think it's bad at all.
No. And as you were talking, I said, wow, my mom said all those things to me too.
Yeah. But back to your, you know, are we all the same? Yeah. I think when it comes to, let's say you used confidence as one of the examples. Yeah. I think maybe men have learned how to, whether they're feeling confident or not, they've learned to display it in a different way than women have. And so sometimes it makes people think that men are more confident. I think you're right. I mean, I've talked to men too. They're like, I'm not confident about this, but I'm just maybe better at, I hate, not crazy about the term, faking it until you make it type of a thing.
No, I was going to go there too. I hear you. Yeah.
So, and women, you know, some, and again, some women are and some women aren't, you know, good at doing that. I know, I think of the times that I don't feel confident, even every time before I step in front of a group to facilitate a training, maybe sometimes that I've done 25 times. Mm. You know, it's just figuring out how to kind of get in that rhythm and figuring out what does make you confident and how to channel that.
Yeah, different things on different days for sure. You know, it's a lot of people are surprised when I say this because, and I do say it a lot, confidence is my biggest issue to this very day. I mean, it's interesting. And I understand why. I've done enough work that I understand where it came from and, you know, my lack of confidence. But the blessing of that is I learned how to make it authentic, you know, how to summon that. Although a lot of times I'll say, and this is not I hope it doesn't sound so self-aggrandizing. It's not, because I think courage should be a commonplace trait. We should all practice courage. But I say I'm more courageous than I am confident most of the time, meaning that I'll go and do something even though I'm afraid, right? Mm-hmm. Even though sometimes I lack the confidence that a lot of other people would have. And all I could say about that is what I've learned over time, if you build your confidence based on a surety of an outcome, you're in big trouble. You have to base confidence on your training, on your preparation, right? And that's how you can go, I don't know if I'm going to win or lose when I go into a fight, but I know I'm prepared. I know I did what I needed to do to be in the ring, right?
Well, and I think also I think that's great, everything you just said. And you also can't base your confidence on what other people think about.
Yeah, amen.
You. I mean, it has to, everything has to come within. It's funny you talked courage, because I've been told for a couple different things in my life how courageous I was. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't feel that I was courageous at all. I was put in this situation and I just had to figure out how to get through it. And, you know, so I guess maybe it's a confidence that I do sometimes show, even if I don't feel it, because when people have said that, I've been like, oh, wow, I didn't feel courageous at all.
Well, see, I was just going to say, we need to send you one of our trophies, because you are a sensei leader. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about. You know, I know Nelson Mandela stole this from me, but he said, courage is not the absence of fear, right? And I just, he frames it a little differently. I just say, well, the absence of fear is stupidity.
You know,
I think it was General Patton that said he never knew an intelligent man to go into battle unafraid, because the intelligent person knows what they're getting into, right?
Right.
So it's exactly what you just said. You're the embodiment of it. You know, you may be afraid, but you do what you need to do anyway.
Yeah. For me, one of those situations was I had breast cancer 5 years ago, and people are like, oh, you were so courageous. It's like, you know how many times I cried every night I went to bed? Mm. I mean, it's, you know, but people, so again, it is what you display too.
Yeah. Isn't it too bad people confuse that with a sign of weakness or coward? Cause it's not, I mean, that's just an expression. It's a venting at times. It's a natural emotion. We're all going to be in those moments, but it's about putting what, you know, I'm sure you put one step in front of the other, right? You went to your treatments, you did your thing.
I did what I had to. Exactly. Well, yeah. And you used a little bit back, you used the word authentic. Mm-hmm. It's like, if I was really being authentic during that time, I probably would have not shown maybe the wall or whatever it was I was displaying. I probably would, maybe would have kind of had those conversations more with people to know, so they really knew what was going on. And that would have been really a little more authentic, possibly. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that word authentic gets really twist it around, especially in leadership. You know what I mean? People say, "Well, you just do what you." No, it's I don't know. I like sincerity in conjunction with authenticity. You know, authenticity isn't. Well, anyway, we could do a whole show on that, right? But you know what you brought up again. I'm going to say this. Yeah, no, you absolutely embodied what courage is. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it. That's just perfect.
And I've never taken any martial arts.
There you go. Well, you got the message. You don't have to be a black belt to think like one. one of our taglines. But the thing is, too, you know, I said it a little while ago, that idea that, courage needs to be defined, and what people are doing. We've had a lot of questions about it lately. People are saying, geez, am I being courageous now? Yeah, because you're in the middle of it and you're doing what you need to do. You're putting one foot in front of the other. On the other hand, as leaders, sometimes, I don't know, you can, and again, you can debate this if you want to, but it's not always good to be going out and shedding your tears in front of the people who are trusting in your leadership. You know what I mean? And sometimes I think that's what people confuse with authenticity. It's not that you don't cry, but you can have your cry over here, and then you can put on a strong face if that's what's necessary, if that's what your people need, and go out and face the world that way, right? How do you encourage people to be brave if, you know, come out and go, oh my God, but some do.
Well, and I don't know if being authentic always means, you know, showing the tears or something like that.
Right,
but
right.
Let me ask you this. Don't you think it would be authentic if I'm, as a leader, if we're having a conversation with it, you know, I'm having a conversation with the team and I say, I really don't know.
Yes. Yes. And, or you say, I'm afraid, right?
Or I, you know,
and
I'm,
here's why.
You know, yeah, I'm yeah. afraid that I don't know. Here's an example. I've been having a conversation with somebody that we're going to probably do some little Zoom sessions that we'll be posting. But, you know, in terms of when this is all over, this, and we start going into back into the in-person world, you know, people aren't going to know how to do that because it's going to be, things are still going to be different. And I think as a leader to say, we're going to have to figure this out together.
No, right.
That's being authentic.
I knew we were going to be singing in harmony. Absolutely. I agree with you 100% because that's the flip side of it. And there always is, you know, it's one of the great lessons I learned in martial arts was, and from the West, Eastern philosophies is reality really isn't all that black and white. You know what I mean? That it's always moving, dynamic, shades of gray and change all the time, right? And what you're talking about is perfect. There's a big difference between walking out on the platform in front of your people if your company's in trouble and just melting down, or walking out and saying, hey, look, here's the situation by the numbers, and I'm afraid, I'm concerned. What can we do together to get through this, right? That's a different...
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've been reading about some of the leaders who are actually doing that. They're finding ways to not have to lay people off because they put it out to the organization, and the organization has risen up and said, I'm in this with you. I will, whatever it is, take the furlough or take the pay cut or whatever, so we don't have to lay anybody off.
And that's where we have to be so open to input from all the different levels, right? I mean, who knows? It could be, and believe me, I elevate janitors. That was, to this day, that was still one of my favorite jobs ever in my whole life. And didn't know it at the time, but looking back, but no, it was such a valuable experience. And so, you know, it could be the janitor who has the idea, right? That's going to turn the thing around. You have to be open to that.
Absolutely. Because you never know where it's going to come from. People have, again, going back to, you know, what people have experienced in life and where, how they were brought up and all the stuff, letting people bring their whole experiences with them to the work is where you're going to get the ideas, and then asking for it and being being open to listening. That's part of that simple and easy. It's not always easy to ask, but it is simple to ask.
I had a feeling we'd become friends because I've been preaching for a while, and I say the age of command and control is dead. It's over. If you're still operating that way, if you're not in trouble now, you're heading for it.
I was going to say, if you're command and control and you're working in this environment, you must be pulling your hair out because you don't know what your people are doing.
Right? Exactly. Exactly.
And as long as they're getting done what they have to get done, it shouldn't matter how. It's okay.
Yeah. As long as it's legal, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. But I mean more like, you know, do they have to do it between 9 and 5?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're right. And almost anybody that can work remotely, you know, falls in that category. With notable exceptions, SBA.
Yeah, we won't go there.
Yeah, we could do a whole program on that. There's been plenty of people doing it, right? I love those updates. And people are listening beyond the coronavirus. You don't know what the hell we're talking about now. But listen, Alexis, I hope you'll come back again because this is a joy, and I think you have a lot more to share, and our listeners will really benefit from. So as we wrap things, will you come back again? I'm going to put you on the spot.
I would absolutely love to come back. This has been so much fun.
Okay, very cool. Let's tell people again how to get in touch with you. And yes, I think you are. I found that. I think you are the only Alexis Gladstone on LinkedIn, which is pretty unusual for any name.
My mother was ahead of her time in naming me Alexis. So yeah. So you can find me on LinkedIn as Alexis Gladstone, or you can find me on my website, which is IntoLead, IntoLead.com.
Very good. Thank you again. Stay with me for just a second. I want to talk to you afterwards. And for everybody, thanks so much for your support of Walking the Walk and all the Sensei Leader Movement activities we've been doing over the last couple of weeks. The live feeds, go to slmliveonline.com, and you'll see the next ones that are coming up. Maybe Alexis will join us on one of those too. And again, just from the heart, I really appreciate you guys are the folks that make this movement go, and you're really breaking my heart lately. The support's been terrific. Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Walking the Walk. Please like and share. Our mission at the Sensei Leader Movement is to support and develop human-centric leaders. Leaders who put people first. Leaders who inspire, empower, and guide people to their very best. Be part of the movement. Join and access all our free resources by visiting thesenseileader.com. To book Jim or host your own event, call us at 207-751-4317.